Are you the one, or should we expect another? Wow, now that's a powerful question, isn't it? Is Jesus significant enough for you and I that we are actually finding value in who he is and what his message is to change our lives to make this a better place? That's the ultimate question. I would dare say if people in Jesus' day were going out to the desert, we probably are doing similarly at great expense coming out at 2 below 0. Yes, you and I are part of those people who are saying yes, or at least wrestling with that Jesus is the one that's going to give our lives some significance and help us live to the fullness of our lives. That's ultimately just what this is all about. And this is a great week to reflect on that whole question. And I love Jesus' answer. Don't just take my words. Just, are people happier? Are people who are broken feeling a little bit more healed? Are those who are lonely finding friends and companionship? Are those who are hurting now feeling at least someone is reaching out and making it feel better and healed? You know, it's not rocket science here. It's just simple. Do we notice what we say we believe? Jesus actually believed that the kingdom was coming. And the kingdom was what happens among human beings in very ordinary fashions, where people are more enlivened. They're happier. They're more joined together in greater unity, and ultimately there is more peace. Is that happening? We who are Christians have the major role of celebrating that we do see it. I don't know if you know that. That's what we're about. We are looking at reality right now here in the Milwaukee area, or Franklin, or wherever you live. We're looking around, and yes, there's a lot of things that are broken. But are we actually seeing things that complement our belief? That we can have hope and belief that good things are coming forth. And we're actually becoming more humane, which is more divine. Because if the incarnation is what it's supposed to be, God chose to be human, not the other way around. So being more human, caring about each other, having more fun with each other, forgetting those things that hurt us and break us and make us enemies to one another, then we are actually celebrating today's feast day. John wanted to know, and Jesus told him, don't take my word for it. Look, is there more happiness around here? Is there more life? Is there more healing? Is there more friendship? And is there? Is there? Are you the one, or should we expect another? That's a good question. All of us, even though we are on this side of the attempt to answer that question, we may be in different places. What else can we say about these readings that might help us to reflect on the scriptures a little bit more today? Well, each of the readings tells us something about what we should look like, those of us who are buying in more and more that he is the one. And the first reading says it very clearly. Because, first of all, let's set the stage. Isaiah is talking to a group of people who are going to go back to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is a ruined, wrecked reality. There's nothing standing. It's been broken. It's been destroyed. And Isaiah is saying, you're going to go back, and you're going to be joyful, and you're going to dance, because everything is going to be wonderful. Stop to think what it is like to live in Gaza, or one of those cities in Ukraine, where you used to have an apartment, and you're being told, you're going to go back. And be joyful. What is the message? If you and I are following that the kingdom is breaking through in our midst, We don't stop with the destruction. We pick up the vision and move forward. We have a choice: to sit down and quit or to get up and move. And that is so significant, because then we go into the second reading that punches another hole for us into how we really live this life. Patience. And of course, all of us excel in patience, don't we? I don't think I'm breaking the seal of confession, but one of the greatest announced sins by the penitents is, "Father, I have no patience." And so, obviously, it's not an easy thing to acquire. But I think we have to look at patience in light of what the first reading tells us. Yes, we look out, and this world could look very dismal and broken, and what's the hope? You know, just let's quit. There's nothing we can do anyway. Rather than saying, "Oh, I know the kingdom's coming, and this can look better. I know how it should look. I can work for that." He uses the metaphor in the reading of the second reading of the farmer, right? And he says, the patience of the farmer is the farmer sits and knows that ultimately the growth of his crop is not dependent on him. But patience does not mean we just sit back and do nothing. Remember what the farmer has to do. First of all, the farmer has to plow. The farmer has to buy the seed and throw the seed. The farmer has to weed, manure, and do what the farmer can do. And then, yes, it's up to God, so to speak, or up to nature for actually the fruit to actually come. But look at the kind of patience God is asking of us. Not one that sits back and say, "I don't got to do nothing." It's prepare. Prepare to see. Prepare to celebrate. Prepare to look. And your question for me, and we did this last night, Deb and I, it's a little bit of a different homily. The question is very simple. Can you think of a place where you've seen the kingdom emerging? Yeah, it has to be big. I asked her, asked Deb in the sacristy, and she told me where she just saw the kingdom emerging, and I shared where I just saw the kingdom emerging. It's very simple. Where have you seen something happen where there's a little more light where there's darkness, a little more happiness where there's been a little bit of depression, where there's a little bit more of coming together where there's been separation? I mean, all we have to do is look around us and name it, proclaim it. Because that is what a Christian does, who is really saying, "Yes, you are the one. I don't have to look any further."